starts music, which is evocative of a place for my guest. My guest is Kate Legg. Kate's an award-winning author, journalist, and has a splendid book out and about right now called Kindred, A Cradle Mountain Love Story. Kate, welcome.
Thank you, Jonathan.
What were we listening to there, and where does it take you?
Well, it's called Yolunga, which is the Indigenous word for spirit, and it's a song by Dead Can Dance and the absolutely magnificent Lisa Gerrard, who has this rich androgynous voice, and those primordial rhythms in the music speak to me. It's the call of the wild.
It's quite mystic.
It's very mystic, and it speaks of the secrets and the mysteries and the sort of awestruck wonder that people have for nature. And later in the music, there's this lonely cry from a loon on a lake. And that's
actual
the sound.
Loon?
A loon.
I love a loon.
Well, and it's incredibly evocative, and you're immediately there in some landscape. And for me, yes, I'm on the shores of Crater Lake in the Lake St. Clair Cradle Mountain National Park.
Ah.
Because it's so that you're in front of this dark pool, fathomless, these steep dolerite cliffs from the Jurassic period, carpeted in myrtle and bonsai pine, and the Jurassic rock, and the sense of being somewhere ancient. It's the land that time forgot, and I think that music really transports me to that place.
How wonderful that the best places are the places that we people just haven't touched.
Exactly. And that's what drew Kate and Gustav Weindorfer to Cradle
the love story of your book.
The love story of my book, but it's also they felt this was a place where there was no time and nothing mattered. And they were drawn to the secrets that they felt were, because of their knowledge of botany and geology, they were drawn to the secrets that they felt spoke to them in this landscape.
Now, Kate was a Taswegian.
Yes.
And Gustav was not.
Austrian.
how did they come to meet, and how did they first journey to Cradle Mountain?
Well, he came from Austria on a wave of sort of youthful adventurism. And I think he must have read Alexander von Humboldt, who spoke of the...
Oh, who hasn't?
Who hasn't, let's face it. who spoke of the great crucible of botanical discovery was in the great subtropical forests of the southern continents. Hmm. And he came here on a voyage of discovery, landed in Melbourne at the turn of the century. And Kate, who had lost most of her family through a series of unfortunate deaths, but had enough money and an education to want to be independent, had come to Melbourne on another surge of adventurism. And it was an amazing place, Melbourne, at the turn of the century. I mean, you had the Parliament opening, you had Vida Goldstein talking about the women's vote, you had a great sense of a birth of a nation, you had the Commonwealth Parliament meeting.
In one of the great cities of the world time.
Exactly. Mm. And they were both members of the Victorian Field Naturalist Club, and they went up to Mount Buffalo just after that national park was opened. It was the second national park in Australia. And I think they had a sense there of wanting to do something in a great landscape.
She says, you've got to see Tassie.
You've got to see Tassie. If you think Mount Buffalo is good, wait till you cross Bass Strait. And so she took him there, and they honeymooned on the top of Mount Roland for 6 weeks. You know, who does that? You know, there was mosquito infestations, snow, blizzards, snakes. And they were just in a state of giddy bliss, and they spent 6 weeks there. And from there, from the plateau, you can see Cradle Mountain. Right. I think that's where they conceived their dream. That's my view.
Cradle Mountain has a sharpness, sort of a blade of rock poking up there. It is distinct.
There's some debate as to whether it was called Rib Rock or Crib Rock, but an early explorer described it as very much like the early Tasmanian cradles that they had. And Kate and Gustav never conceived a child. She was 40, he was 32. When they got married, and I think this was their dream, this was their child. You know, they looked out at that rock and they both just couldn't wait to get
there. Let's not forget the time and such glorious pictures of Kate schlepping around in the wilderness in her
long skirt, ribbon blouse and hat and gloves.
Catching
although I think she had jodhpurs
twig
that she wore underneath the skirt. We think that's what she might have done, and then only put the skirt on for photographs. But she was a wild girl. I mean, they'd both grown up in the country, surrounded by nature, and they were kindred spirits and they were soulmates, you know, who both loved exactly the same things. I mean, he was a catch of a man. He was a metrosexual way before his time. You know, he'd quote poetry, he could sing opera, he could cook.
Which is now such a male commonplace.
That's right. Well, he did everything. everything. And he and she was a woman who climbed mountains at a time when few women dared.
They were a tremendously modern couple.
They were. They were amazing. And that was their visionary nature, their pluck, their passion and their sensibility that immediately struck me.
So they put down roots.
Yes, they did. At Cradle Mountain. And against great obstacles in their path. Just before they went to Tasmania, there was Vert Hansen, who was a young trapper, was lost, got disorientated and froze to death on the slopes of the mountain. And most Tasmanians, you know, they were gripped by this search. And so this is how people saw it. They saw it as a remote, forbidding, scary place. And in fact, most Australians at that time didn't venture out into the bush. We clung to our coastal veranda.
And this is what's an interesting thing about Australia at the time. I mean, the bush, and that expression sort of says it all. It's, it's sort of an amorphousness about
it. It's a dun coloured landscape. Don't go there. And yet they could identify the individual parts of that bush. And they and when he first arrived, of course, he was very dispirited by his first sight of withered gum leaves at in Fremantle in the middle of summer. But when he came east, he fell in love with everything. And of course, you know, she showed him that there were great alpine landscapes here.
And as you, in your description of the lake, and the surroundings is when you began. I mean, there is so much richness, so much detail, so much teeming life in that country.
Well, it became a bush laboratory, and that's their science enabled them to see that here was a place of great biodiversity that would attract all sorts of scientists, from Professor Thompson Theodore Flynn, who was Errol Flynn's father, who was an expert in the reproductive systems of marsupials.
Errol Flynn's dad. That's a sort of a notion to conjure with, isn't it?
Well, he and Gustav used to throw wombats into the lake to sort of see if they could swim. But there were all sorts of experiments.
Out of the lake, skipping wombats.
I know, no doubt that the animal welfare liberation is protesting now, but in those days, and Andre Tonnell, who was the restless flycatcher, he signed himself in the Waldheim guestbook, and Frank Blanchard, who was a Harvard herpetologist, which is a study of living fossils. He came out with his wife and baby from Massachusetts to spend a couple of weeks there. So it really became a hub for not just scientists, but also photographers, wilderness photographers, you know, who were drawn to this sublime landscape.
When did you first go there?
I went in 2015. And
wow, well, that's...
It's not that long ago, but I'd always wanted to go. I'd always wanted to go. And my marriage, 30-year marriage, had just ended. And my son took me there, I think, to distract me emotionally from everything else that was going on. I was learning to live on my own then. And I think the thing about the Cradle Mountain landscape is it's melancholic key. And I learnt the art of sort of solitude, you know, there. I really came to love being on my own in that landscape. It was something that grounded me and also something that really stirred within me and my creative impulse, which had sort of been in a tight fetal position for several months, years, began to unfurl. And I really felt this stirring inside me, and I knew I would write about that landscape in some shape or form, whether
it was
fiction.
And when did you discover this love story behind it?
Well, the next day. The first day after I'd gone there, I went walking again, and I took a different route and it wound up at the chalet that they built, which is a replica of the chalet, the original chalet. But I was just staggered by the foresight of this couple and the bravery and their refusal to listen to the naysayers who couldn't understand what on earth they'd found there.
And what were the naysayers? And did that arise around the when they were pushing for a national park status?
Well, and also a chalet. And who would go up there? I mean, it took 15, 16 hours of really uncomfortable travelling to get there. You know, you had to catch the train to Railton, the coach to Sheffield, then you had to come up to Wilmot in a horse and cart. You had to get another horse and cart, which would cross the Middlesex Plains. You'd get there freezing cold, you know, very late at night. You had to walk the last 8 miles in. It was an extraordinary feat. And they lived up there. He, of course, spent more decades than she because she died early. And cold, wet feet was his only complaint. Yeah, she was 11 years older than he was. And but she loved it there. She loved it there too. And it was just unusual for a woman at that time, you know. And he never found anyone else who would share that place of beauty with him. Because
he must have been quite a figure, quite a character in his old years, pottering about.
Well,
his
old years, he died at 52, 53.
Yeah, okay, that's not that old, is it?
It's not that old, but it was... But it was then. But no, well, he was just so smitten by it and so fascinated by everything that he found there.
The book is Kindred, a Cradle Mountain love story. And we've given you the bare bones. There's so much more there to read. Kate Legg is the author, and she's been our guest. Kate, thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan.
This is Blueprint on RN.